You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Thank you so much for coming down today. I understand you've had a pretty busy day.
It's a Monday. It's the first week back.
Mm-hmm. So, Phoebe, you are someone I've known for quite a bit of time now. You're not just someone I know from Singapore, but you're also someone who was quite involved in the music and art scene over there, and you've dabbled in a little bit of that here in Aotearoa as well. But most importantly, you are heavily involved in climate and environmental advocacy, and you've been part of numerous initiatives and events in that area, both here in Aotearoa and in Singapore as well. So to start things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
All right, so kia ora, my name is Phoebe Ray. My pronouns are she, they. And you're right, yeah, I have done quite a bit of climate advocacy work. I was with SG Climate Rally. That is the grassroots organization advocating for systems change and climate justice, which is recognizing that the climate impacts all aspects of life. So it's a broad umbrella of things that I do advocate for, stand for, but it's just down to that. I just want to live on a cool, lovely, safe place. Yeah.
So tell us about some of the work you've been doing here in Aotearoa. You know, what have you been up to since you moved here from Singapore?
So I came here just to like really explore what else was out there, because doing like activism advocacy kind of work back home in Singapore is quite tough because civil society isn't as free as it is here in Aotearoa. So I wanted to explore different avenues of how it looked like here. So I've helped out at like climate protests. It's so liberating to actually be on the streets. I think that is such a big privilege of just being in a country that allows you to express your opinions and stuff like that. And I've also helped out with like green parties. I've helped out with some charities such as the Youth Climate Collective. So yeah, a whole bunch of stuff.
You were also involved in the Auckland Climate Festival, right?
I was last year.
Yeah, so tell us about that. How did that go?
What I did was I organized an event under the Auckland Climate Festival. It was real chill. It was a panel with a bunch of people in different climate-related careers and bringing that to university students so that they know what pathways are out there. We had people from like engineering, from consultancies, from advocacy, other types of advocacy roles such as creatives for climate, and a whole range of different disciplines, but all revolving around sustainability. And it was quite a lovely experience. The festival gave us quite a good format to work with that is respectful of, Maori traditions and such and things like that, because I'm still quite new to it. So, yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about the differences you've noticed, you know, in doing climate advocacy work here in Aotearoa versus what you were doing in Singapore? Like you mentioned earlier, you know, it's harder to get that kind of a platform to, you know, really campaign for real change over in Singapore, right?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few differences. I mean, just being able to go out and speak and say whatever opinions you want to say and having, you know, the authorities respect that voice of yours, the voice of many, many people, they do see that. And I do see the politicians also working much more closely on the ground than I have back home in Singapore. Not that they don't do groundwork. It's just that it feels a lot more personable here. Like MPs here are a lot more approachable than they are back home, you know, surrounded with security and stuff like that. But I have to say, though, because it's so easy to say things, a lot of people also just don't care, which is like the flip side of it. Back home, if you say something that is a little out of line, people make such a big fuss about it. Here, not so much.
So what are conditions like for environmental activists in Singapore? You know, what kind of platforms are available for people who are concerned about climate change and, you know, want to campaign in that area?
Oof, I don't want to say anything that gets my citizenship revoked.
Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble either. But
I still have my passport. I still like being... Okay, this is a big thing that people think about activists or like advocates, that they don't like that country. You know, that is so untrue for me. Like, I love Singapore. Like, it is my home. It is where I grew up in. Like, my family is all there. But for me, as someone who grew up there, you know all the stuff that gets swept under the rug. And as someone who wants better for, you know, her home, her country, that is why I went into activism. So, I don't know, I guess there's a different motivation in that sense.
But there are some climate events in Singapore, and even though they may be a bit more limited, there are some platforms for, you know, climate activists to speak, like the SG Climate Rally, for example, which I think you are also a part of, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what is it like, you know, working with those spaces, you know?
I guess when it comes to environmentalism, there's many ways you can skin the cat. You know, like, you don't necessarily have to be against the government. You can just stick to very small things like paper straws. But there's a lot more that goes into it. It's a whole system of, you know, of how things work, the way things are designed. And I think questioning that larger structure is more threatening to the government. So they try to actually downplay how that looks like on the outside. So, like, yeah, back at the Singapore Climate Rally, MPs would show up. So we had a few ministers show up at the event. We've also had, you know, some photo-taking opportunities with writing letters to MPs and them coming back to us and having closed-door sessions with us. And I can't reproduce what they said exactly because of Chatham House rules, but what they say, you know, this effort, quote unquote, that they're putting in it's a greenwashing effort. They don't actually say anything that useful. They make all this effort just for the good PR, but they just parrot back the same things.
It's just a safe face, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
So how would you say Singapore fares generally when it comes to meeting its emission reductions goals or conserving its environment?
Okay, I'd say Singapore is actually in a very unique position to do a lot more than what it's currently doing. Singapore does have a big presence in, you know, international negotiations like COP or like other, you know, like UN-related stuff and, you know, other such international platforms. But the thing is, they're still not doing enough because they still want to make a lot more money. It always kind of goes back to that. They could slash a lot of things, like actually putting a more staggered like carbon taxes that are a lot more higher than what they currently are. Or, you know, it's a lot of things. But, you know, this is a very famous phrase in Singapore. Like, the government gives you a chicken wing and takes the whole chicken away. So that kind of is what it feels like in terms of like emissions reductions, and not just on the emission side, but even on like the social side, because the environment affects, you know, those of lower socioeconomic classes even worse than, you know, the people up top who contribute the most to it. So there's also that imbalance that, you know, they don't really recognize.
I mean, even being an island in the Pacific, you know, high potential to get impacted by rising sea levels and climate change as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what Singapore plans to do with that?
What?
They plan to build an island.
Build another island?
Yeah, they plan to make a little thing called Long Island. You know, they can't really think of a different name besides American names. So, like, they plan to make a fake island of sand they are probably going to steal along the East Coast. To protect the East Coast.
So the sea levels will take that island first before the rest of Singapore? Or how's that going to work?
Yeah, that's the East Coast plan.
The East Coast plan. We have it together.
Yeah.
So you came here to Aotearoa before the most recent general elections, right? And before the current government came in.
Mm.
So what was it like seeing that transition and watching the new government bringing in policies like, you know, the fast track approvals bill and resuming oil and gas exploration, etc. Like, how did that feel seeing those changes happen?
God, I was so disappointed. Okay, I was already volunteering with the Green Party at that point in time during the election year, and, you know, tensions were high. We were trying to get people to vote. I am so surprised by how little people vote here. You know, like, voter turnout is so low, and I'm like, you have so much privilege. There's so much power in your vote. It's kind of crazy. And people don't know that. People don't take advantage of that, and y'all really should. But seeing that turnout, you know, when Nats got elected, that was already that sinking feeling. So it wasn't that surprising. Wasn't that shocking? All these bills were coming forward because that's what Nats and ACT are, you know. They're just mucking things up.
Did it feel like a lot of work that had been done in recent years had been, like, suddenly undone, perhaps, you know?
Because part of the reason why, you know, I came to Aotearoa, New Zealand, was because in terms of how the world sees countries that are advanced in their environmental protection, New Zealand is one of them. It is one of the top few. Probably because of the great marketing, great PR, you know, the whole Pure New Zealand campaign. But it was really disappointing to see how little the government cares about the environment when that is part, a huge part of the treasure of New Zealand. Not just its nature, but its people, its guardians, you know, Maori populations. Like, New Zealand is known for being the best in the world in how they treat, you know, indigenous peoples, but clearly we're also very far from the ideal, and I did not know that until our coming here, which is really disappointing, because actually the world looks up to New Zealand quite a lot, and a lot of New Zealanders, a lot of Kiwis don't actually realise that.
Has the new government, you know, changed any of the advocacy work you are doing at the moment?
Yeah, I think because a lot of resources have been cut down, not just, I mean, advocacy was already not a very high paying job per se, but seeing, you know, like, government agencies getting their budget cuts and all that, that just trickles down to what we're doing. The cost of living that is going high every day also makes it harder to try and focus on advocacy work, because we're just trying to survive, man. And we want to survive in the long run. So it's just been made harder.
So before we wrap things up, and you did mention this at the start of the interview, but why is climate change advocacy so important to you? And why do you think we should care about the environment?
Oh, I mean, we live here, man. It's as simple as that. I think you don't... If you care just about being here, you should care about the home you're living in. It's as simple as that.
So, obviously, you know, clean up after your home. You know, don't destroy your home. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If you want to keep your home pretty, like, you want to keep the waters clear, have a beautiful forest, go tramping in.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta keep that up. You gotta, you know, like, not
don't
dig
send
up.
Shit into the atmosphere.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And lastly, do you have any songs from Singapore or Southeast Asia that you've been listening to lately and maybe you want to hear on the airwaves?
Oh, actually I do.
Okay.
I'm going to go for a very obscure one.
That's fine. We're all about obscure music here at BFM.
Hell yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with Blood on the Disco Floor.
Oh, by Intermission. Oh,
yes!
That's an awesome song. Yeah, we'll play that. Definitely.
It's so Singaporean. I love it.
Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.